Welcome to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast, a resource for Lexington teachers to learn about innovative technology to use in your classroom, as well as tips and tricks to streamline your workload. I'm Lisa Rhodes, one of the elementary digital learning coaches.
I'm Rachel Kuberry, the district's assistive technology specialist.
And I'm Ann Kim Tenner, the high school digital learning coach.
Just a reminder, the opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests. Make sure you check out the show notes for more information, resources, and other podcasts. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 10. I am Lisa Rhodes. In this episode, Rachel talks with Chris Bruff, a fourth grade teacher at Bowman, about classroom economy, a unique classroom management tool. Afterward, Anne will update us on Google's Applied Digital Skills lesson, a robust resource everyone should know about. I have a few announcements and updates. In episode 9, we talked about the new website. Again, you can find it at www.lexingtonma.org. If you happen to find any broken links or content which needs updating, please fill out an LPS contact website submission form. The form is located in the Lex Communicate page, which you can find under the For Staff link on the main webpage. If you need assistance, please contact your building digital learning coach. The upper grades are beginning second semester. This is a reminder to start organizing your files in your drive. Again, if you need any help, please contact your building digital learning coach. And finally, did you know that you can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes? Subscribing lets you listen to the episodes anytime and anywhere. Some staff members have told us they listen on their commute to or from work. Please reach out to us here at LexTechIn10@lexingtonma.org or your building digital learning coach for assistance.
Welcome to the podcast, guys. I am here today with Chris Bruff, who is a fourth grade teacher over at Bowman. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And yeah, thank you for being here. I'm very excited because today we're going to talk about the classroom economy that Chris runs in his classroom. I knew nothing about it before Lisa referred me to him for this podcast. And just a brief conversation with him, I'm super jazzed to have this larger conversation to share a really cool thing that Chris is doing to help manage his classroom and really embed some pieces of like project-based learning and PBL into this giant project you do all year. So that's what we're here to talk about, Chris. Maybe you can start off by describing what the classroom economy is and sort of how you got started in it or got interested in it.
Yeah. So the classroom economy was a really good way to bring my whole class community together. Last year I was out on a medical leave and my class was kind of scattered amongst the rest of the fourth grade. And while they were scattered, I wanted to find a way to kind of bring them together and have like a shared experience. And my sister had once sent me something and I was kind of interested in it. A teacher had a class economy going and students had a chance to like purchase and buy things, had a chance to save up for things that they really wanted. And it sounded super cool, so I went to give it a try. I decided to launch it last year. The kids loved it so much. I did think it was a little bit of work, a little bit more than I was expecting. And then I was thinking about not doing it. The kids like begged me to do it. They wrote some persuasive essays. They convinced me to do it again.
I love that.
Yeah. So then I decided to do it again this year, especially since a lot of the kids who came into my room were like,
looking forward to it.
Are we going to do it? I was like, I don't know. It's a lot of work. I don't know. And then they were like, let's do it. Please do it. And then I said, yeah, let's go ahead. Let's jump in.
And I think it's so awesome in school now to like hit something that kids are so jazzed about. Like, how can you take that away?
Right. you can't say no when like everyone's
like this
coming
excellent
in.
Excellent learning experience.
Some of the parents asked about it, like, tell me about the class economy. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
what are the big features of your class economy?
So the students have jobs. That's probably the big thing for me. So it was kind of like another good way for me to like limit the amount of things that I'm doing on a day-to-day basis.
Okay.
Some of those things include like one being a line leader, also like erasing the boards, writing the schedule, being a paper passer.
So some like conventional classroom jobs are jobs they can have. And
yeah.
Get paid
and then
for.
Some of the other big ones that are different are like being a banker. And those are the students who will help out to make sure that they can take money out of the bank, make sure the kids have enough money.
Okay.
Some students are also like clerks, so they handle a lot of the paperwork that goes along with the classroom economy. And then some kids are fine officers because kids get fined within the business, within the school day, within the month. and they need to, you know, make sure that they collect those fines as well.
Okay. That's very cool. So kids have a job where they get paid.
Yes.
And what's the money? What do they use the money for?
They use the money to buy lots of different things. Eventually, when students are in good financial standing, they're able to open up their own businesses. So once they open up their own business, whether it's like Comfy Corner Palace, where they can go and sit in the corner of the classroom and they can sit on pillows and they get room service while they're there.
So like that business over there is maintained by some kids in your class.
Exactly. Great. So they use the money to buy things like that. They're like fancy pencils and pens. They can buy those kinds of things.
Okay.
Another group's got crafty creations. They sell fidgets. So the kids bring those in, squishy things to help relieve stress.
Yep.
Well, they do calendars. They make bookmarks so they can use their money for that. They can also like purchase an extra recess for the class.
Oh, nice.
They can also purchase like a movie day. However, we do need to get work done in order to earn those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And also like the biggest one that the kids have loved this year so far, they purchased twice, was Comfy Couch Potato Day, where they're able to read and watch like a short movie.
And do they have attire for that?
They show up in pajamas. Like, right? Yes, yes. It costs money to do these things. And also kids, they also have to pay rent on their desk every month. So every month their rent is due. They can also save up, though, to buy their desk, which is twice the amount of rent.
So looking at your classroom now, what's the ratio of rent versus purchase of desks?
Unfortunately, we have three new students, so they brought that number
up. The proportion changed recently. But you were looking like a purchase desk classroom.
Before they came, we had 15 students, and there were 13 desks that were purchased.
Okay.
And they bought their desks really quickly this year. They really saved up for it. And
got that concept right away, saved their money.
And the two students who weren't able to pay for their desks, they're really on the other end of having lots of fines. So, yeah, that's really where it comes from.
And that's a good example, like sort of for everyone, when you look at what's happening in the classroom.
Right.
You can learn from your experience here in the classroom economy, but you can also learn in the broader experience and what other kids are experiencing in the classroom economy, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about differentiation, both because you mentioned something a minute ago that made me think about that with your new students coming in and like, how do you deal with a disruption? And also how do you differentiate? A lot of this is around math. So kids that might need some help to budget their money to pay for their desk and that sort of thing.
So we've spent a lot of time in here kind of like planning forward. And a lot of the differentiation comes around just like executive functioning.
Yes. Sounds like it.
You know, we've got a lot of systems that are put in place for that. There are a few students who, you know, they have a side business of being a financial planner, and their job
is... Did they start that?
It started last year where there was a student who said, "Mr. Bruff, you know, I can do this for you for
a fee."
So I said, "Well, if I don't have to do it, what do you think it'd be worth?" So we negotiated back and forth,
great.
And the students do that too. So they get a chance to do that. Students, when it comes to especially like planning out what they're going to spend for the month, I do a lot of that work at the beginning of every month. As the year goes on, I do less of it because it's not needed.
It's not needed as much.
The kids also have folders where they put things into it.
Yeah.
And some students have found that like it's not helpful for them.
Yeah.
And they do things the way that they want to.
Yeah.
So it's more about like giving them the tools to be successful in that lens.
Okay. Very cool. And help me understand how technology fits into this. I know that you mentioned before that kids apply for jobs.
Yeah.
That's probably one area, but I don't know.
Yeah, so kids have to apply for the jobs. They got to find an adult, preferably not their parent, but sometimes it is, whether it's a coach or another teacher.
Mm-hmm.
They'll apply for that job by writing like a letter about it and applying for the job and saying what it is. They get the recommendation letter to go along with that. When students, though, also apply for businesses, though, they do need to submit something on Google Forms. So they'll do that with me.
Okay.
They usually also present something on Google Slides because the kids
make it. Like to you or the class?
To the whole class.
Oh, they've awesome.
They've got to come up with a business plan. They got to explain it to me. They got to make sure that it will be profitable in some way. And if it's not profitable, it's not a big deal. It's plain money. So they'll open up another one.
Rework it.
But they'll do a whole Google Slideshow. Yeah. Some kids have done videos in the past where they're like, "Oh, check this out." And then, you know, the kids love it. So there's that. Also, some kids, one of the kids who's my communications director, their job is to, like, you know, help me write tweets, help me write stuff on the blog. So they've got something in Google Classroom and they just put their things into the Google Doc for me, and then I just copy and paste it.
Yeah, so. Perfect. And so the kids' jobs are like an integral part of your classroom and a key part of this classroom economy. They have the same job all year?
They change their jobs every semester. So coming up at the end of January, the students are going to be applying again for a brand new job, which is really good for the students who kind of start at this time of the year.
Yeah.
So it worked out really well with getting three new students. They're hearing all about the classroom economy. A business just launched today. So they're like, oh, I need to get some money to buy something in this business. Like, I got to take part in this. There's an auction at the end of the month. I got to get in on this.
So if they don't have a job right now, do kids give them money?
No. I do not allow kids to give money away. Kids have a chance to earn it. They can also earn bonus money.
Okay.
Lots of chances for that.
Okay.
Where they just got to fill in, you know, things that they do outside of school, like whether it's a club, whether they go to church, whether they, you know, math team, karate, anything.
Okay.
So those students
who are new. So if you have no job or a low paying job, you can balance that out.
Some students also offer to do things for me in the class, which has been really nice. So, like, if I need students to make, like, repairs, that, you know, instead of doing a repair, they can help out around the room, like, organize something.
Okay.
Throw a few bucks for that.
Okay. Perfect. It sounds like, generally, this gets high marks from the kids.
Yeah.
The student feedback has been good. Yeah.
They actually give the best suggestions.
Yeah.
One of the kids was one of the bankers last year was like, Mr. Bruff, I think this would be better if we were online.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, as soon as I said, I was like, let's try it. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Right. So then, you know, I reached out to the tech department. Dave helped me out with creating an awesome sheet.
Yeah.
That's helped tremendously.
Yeah, it was a good idea. That's cool.
That was great. One of the other kids also mentioned, too, just like being able to like see the different items for the auction at the beginning of the day would be helpful.
So we can think about it.
Think about like how they're going to work on it. And then also, too, like, this year I'm doing something different than last year, which was like having the kids like buy things as a whole class.
Okay.
Partly because like some kids have too much money. Like they're just really good about handing in items.
Yes. They're highly motivated by this money game we're playing.
Yeah. So they're like, they're just sitting on so much that they can't use. Yeah. So that they were like, well, what if we could put this money to use for the whole class?
So when they buy that, what did you call it? Couch potato.
Yes. Day? Cozy couch potato.
Cozy couch potato day. We buy that for X number of dollars.
Yeah.
And different kids contribute different amounts to that.
Correct.
Oh, cool. Yes.
So generally the students who have, you know, a large savings, like last month, a student had like $8,000 in their savings and they were like, I could buy anything that I wanted in the
auction.
Too
much for a fourth grader.
So they contributed half the amount for Cozy Couch Potato Day.
Yeah.
And they still had enough to do something later. So it really does build a nice community.
Yeah. So it did the job that you set out to do last year, which was classroom management, pulling your classroom together and working together on this project.
Exactly.
And it maintains that this year, even though you started the year differently.
Right.
And you had different kids in different groups. And very cool.
Yeah.
Any like stumbling blocks or things to think about if someone's listening to this, like, this is very cool.
Yeah, I would say, the biggest stumbling block is trying to picture it working and finding the time for it.
Yeah.
I can often burn through an entire math block
going
through this. So I find that it's really important still because I've had the greatest math discussions because of this.
Yes.
You know, a kid who doesn't want to multiply with me finds themselves multiplying.
Yeah.
Or dividing or like doing all this addition and subtraction.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to say to them, like, oh, hey, like, this is how you trade in exchange. Let me just show you how you can figure out how much money you have.
And that's the real, like, project-based learning part. Yeah. Like, whether this is project-based learning or not, at Label, it is in practice in a lot of respects. And that's where when it goes into your math block, and you're like, oh, I spent the whole math block planning for a rent. But you did the math.
Yeah.
You did the math. Yeah. We did math different today.
And it's even great, too, when we roll in, like, the literacy pieces.
Yeah, writing those letters in the presentation.
They literally have to, like, find other companies that might be similar to it and then figure out like what they're doing on their pricing schemes, and then they have to then present it. Sometimes they just write persuasive essays and they read those.
Awesome. All right, our time is up here, so we're gonna sign off. Anything else to say? This was awesome. I'm so glad that I got to hear about
this. I'm definitely open to anyone if they're interested in trying it and sharing resources that I have. Okay. There's a tremendous amount of things that are online, yeah. videos that people have tried and different ways they've rolled it out. And
awesome.
I've kind of like mismatched and taken what I've liked and tried some things and figured out and like that. So
right. Very cool. Thank you so much. Well, this is great. Yeah.
It's Anne here, and today I'm going to share about some updates on Google's Applied Digital Skills lessons. Since they created their free curriculum last year, they've added features, such as signing in with Google as a teacher. When you sign in as a teacher, you're able to create classes and keep track of the lessons and how your students are doing. If you wanted to do a budget project like Chris did, they have a pre-made lesson called Plan and Budget. There are lessons at every grade level, and you can pick and choose which lessons to use. Enjoy!
Thank you for listening to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. Don't forget to reach out to any one of us or your building digital learning coach for questions and assistance. That's what we're here for. Also, check out our website, gg.gg/LexTechIn10, where you can find show notes and other resources. Do you have an idea for a future podcast? Would you like to be featured on a future podcast? Email us at LexTechIn10@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.